Good morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvellous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is revealed, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says you are to be holy because I am holy. Since you call on Him as your Heavenly Father, the impartial judge, who judges according to each one's works, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth. For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. This was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this before the foundation of the earth was laid. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you. It is through him that you now believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that you would fasten your faith and hope in God alone. Now, because of your obedience to the truth, you have purified your very souls, and this empowers you to be full of love for your fellow believers. So express this sincere love towards one another passionately and with a pure heart. For through the eternal and living word of God you have been born again. This seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside you forever. For human beings are frail and temporary like grass, and the glory of man fleeting. The blossoms of the field and like the grass dries and withers and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was announced to you.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we're going to be thinking about the subject of new perspectives. I'm sure many of us have seen those pictures where there are two different images in the same picture, and what you see depends on how you look at it. So there's a picture of an old lady and a young lady, and which you see depends on your perspective. It depends how you look at it, which one of those images you see. This morning, we're going to think about new perspectives that we have as Christians. The passage that Carol read to us begins with the word therefore, and that refers us back to what went before. In the first part of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter describes to us some of the things God has given to us: new birth, living hope, an inheritance in heaven, the salvation of our souls. And therefore, because of these things, we then follow what Peter is about to encourage us to do. We develop new perspectives that arise out of what God has already done for us. And this is a pattern that is repeated often in the New Testament. God's action always comes first. What we do, how we live, how we choose to live our lives, arises out of what God has already done for us. So this morning we're going to think about three perspectives that come out of this passage. The first of those is that we live for the future. This is what Peter writes: fix your hope on the marvellous grace that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Jesus is coming again. He's coming back, and he's coming back for us. We have already experienced God's grace and salvation, but there is much more awaits in store for us when Jesus returns. In 1 John, we're told that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. What an amazing prospect that is, to be like Jesus. And one of my favourite passages, John 17, Jesus prays this for his disciples. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see the glory which you've given for me in your love for me before the foundation of the world. And what amazes me about that prayer of Jesus is that this was a prayer that he prayed for his disciples. The disciples whom he knew were about to abandon him at his hour of greatest need. He prays this prayer for Peter, who's going to deny him 3 times. And yet Jesus' desire for him is the same, that he will be with him and see his glory. And I find that such an encouragement when there are times when I feel I've let Jesus down, when I've gone astray, when I've done something wrong, when, you know, I've failed him, that his heart for me is that I should be with him and see that glory that he's been given by the Father from way before the foundation of the world. What a glorious hope we have. What a glorious perspective, a future we have with God. And so because of all these things, we determine that we will live in preparation for that day when Jesus returns. Our controlling ambition, therefore, is to be holy as God is holy. God himself becomes the pattern upon which we seek to shape our lives, the model for our behaviour. And this pattern of holy living can't be reduced to just a whole series of holy acts. It's something that comes from within. In the Old Testament, one of the key concepts of holiness is that of being set apart for God. Our key to holy living is to have a heart, mind, and will that are fully set apart for God. We want to be like him because we love him. Live for the future. The second perspective is live as accountable. Peter writes, "You call on him as your heavenly Father, the impartial judge who judges everyone according to his works." This judgment is not a final verdict on our salvation. We are already secure. Peter has already told us we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that nothing can destroy, kept in heaven for us. God judging our works does not change our relationship with him as Father. Our forgiveness, our salvation, our relationship with God are secure. But it appears that a reward in heaven is dependent upon our works. And practically that means that we hold ourselves accountable to God, that whatever we are about to think or do, we recognise is subject to God's scrutiny. We ask ourselves the question, will he approve or disapprove of what we're thinking, what we're doing? And all this leads not to a dread of God, but to reverence and respect and a conscious accountability to him for how we now live. Our lifestyle is no longer shaped by the values and behaviour of the culture around us. Peter tells us we've been ransomed, bought out of that culture, the things that have been inherited from generations past. We have been ransomed from that. The idea of a ransom is the price that was paid to set a slave free, no longer subject to the dictates of his former master. We have been set free from sin so that we can willingly serve God. And the price of our ransom was not paid in silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. To God, that blood is precious. It must be the most valuable commodity in the whole of the universe, the blood of his own son. And that's the price he's paid to ransom us. And for me, that tells me the incredible message of how much God values me and you. Live as accountable. The third perspective is live to love. Express this sincere love towards one another passionately and with a pure heart. Peter wants churches filled with people who love, whose intimacy is the inevitable result of our obedient response to the gospel. A church where masks are dropped, honesty prevails, and a sense of community beyond mere human affection abounds. But once again, Peter shows us that living this way is grounded in what God has already done. He tells us we have been born again. This new birth comes through the living word of God. In contrast to human nature, which is frail and temporary and whose glory is fleeting, the seed of God's word will continually live and grow within us. God's word renews, cleanses, and matures us for a life of love. And this capacity to love comes from within. It's not generated by some attraction to the person loved. It is love that comes from within. It is love that radiates from this new godlike nature that we've had through the new birth. It is love for a fellow Christian simply because he is Christian. But it is also a love that is visibly expressed, passionately, deeply felt, and without mixed motive. So Peter writes to us, he has given us new birth, living hope, and an inheritance in heaven, salvation of our souls. Therefore, we live for the future, we live as accountable, and we live to love. God bless you.